Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're here to talk about the latest production from the Morehead Theater Guild on April the 29th and the 30th, along with May 1st and the 6th through the 8th. They will be presenting The Breakfast Club, which, of course, is based on the 1985 movie that was produced and directed by John Hughes. And with me from the Theater Guild, Tom Lewis, who's directing the play, along with Leighton Kelly and Katie Murray, who are actors in this production. And I want to welcome all of you to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. Good to be here.
All right, Tom, let's talk a little bit about The Breakfast Club. In essence, go ahead and give people a little bit more of, I guess, a little bit more of an overview of what you'll be doing. I know, again, it's based on that 85 movie, which was about a mismatched group of high schoolers who were spending their Saturday morning in detention.
Exactly. I think we've got a pretty good mismatched group of actors to pull off these parts. But
we do okay.
It's been a lot of fun. We're actually doing our own original adaptation of the script. We were pretty shocked. Leslie, my wife, is co-directing the show with me, and we've wanted to do this show for quite some time and had done some searching for script availability, and we're shocked to find out that there is no sanctioned official version of this show for the stage.
So what do you do?
We got the movie script and adapted it for the stage ourselves. Which was pretty labor-intensive, but a lot of fun at the same time. And one of the reasons we wanted to do this for the stage is in watching the movie, it just seemed to lend itself to the stage because most of the action is confined to the school library, a couple of scenes either in the hallways or the principal's office, but by and large, all of the action takes place in that one room. So we thought, you know, that's a piece of cake to transition to the stage. Not quite as easy as we thought it might be, but it was a lot of fun to make that that switch. But hopefully it's a movie and a story that most people are familiar with already and have a lot of interest in. It's a movie that helped define a generation. And I think people from multiple age groups and even the young generation, you know, our kids, those of us who grew up during that time and were kids, teenagers, when the movie came out, we've had our own kids. I think a lot of our kids, including some of our cast members, feel the same way. It doesn't just define a generation. I think a lot of the themes are just as applicable today as they were in 1985. So a great story. I think we've got a good cast, wonderful cast to pull it off, and looking forward to seeing how it comes together.
What's interesting about this particular production, and I've seen the movie a few times, but the common thread that seems to run through that movie for me is that all these people are different, but at the same time, after spending several hours together, they find out they're a lot more alike than they really knew.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll address that a little bit, but I'd love to hear the cast's perspective on that too. But to me, the underlying theme is we're really not that different. And you know, you've got your rebel, you've got your athlete, you've got your brain, you've got your basket case. You know, you've the princess. All of us, I think, have elements of all of those different characters within our own personalities, just to different degrees. And I think celebrating the differences, but celebrating the similarities really is at the heart of what this show is about. I'll let you two kind of address that from your perspective.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, I'm playing Allison in the show, and she's at first, she does more of the observation. She's studying everybody. She's seeing, all right, how do I fit in with these people? I'm spending a Saturday with them, and essentially I'm there just to try and make friends. I have no other purpose to be there other than to, you know, be with these people. And Allison connects more with Andrew, the athlete. So really, they are complete opposites, but they find, you know, a connection, and that's who she kind of draws herself towards. And you see that at the end of the show.
Yeah, and I play Bender, the criminal, and
big stretch.
And yeah, I was going to say, was there a lot of stretch there in that character? Or?
I was typecast. That's what happened. But really, he's there because
He's always there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Reserved but, for.
Yeah. He, in the play and in the movie, in the very beginning, he's very testy with people, trying to find out how they tick, essentially. What really gets them going. He's actually, I believe, to be one of the smartest characters in there, because right off the bat, he gets inside everybody's head later
Except
on.
Except for me.
Oh, yeah, but later on, he finds a pretty clear connection with the princess, Claire, and they pretty much stick with it through the entire play.
Hmm. What's interesting for me about doing a play, because you have to practice a lot before you go into this, and the story is based on a bunch of people who know who the other people are in their school, but they don't hang out with them. So during the course of that morning together, they develop a chemistry, and at the same time, you go through your practices developing a stage chemistry. And is it difficult when you go out there and you're performing, though, and could it be difficult to, because you do know each other pretty well, not to sound like you know each other too well and it doesn't come off as being contrived in any way?
I think that's all in the ability to act personally, if anybody has any comments.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I auditioned for the show more or less to meet friends and make new acquaintances. So I kind of came into this with not knowing who a lot of these other cast members are, and I've really enjoyed getting to know them. So it will be really hard once we get towards the opening performances and we do have that connection, yeah. But I think we all have a lot of talent and we'll be able to work through that.
Yeah, I kind of just wandered in during the audition. I was
just
giving,
to get out of the cold or something like that.
We found him on the side of the road.
Yeah, I was giving my little brother a ride to audition, but I thought, yeah, I might as well. I'm here too, so.
And we're glad you did.
Yeah, I'm glad I did too.
Tom, you mentioned it was difficult to take the screenplay and pare it down into something that could be performed on a stage in sort of a concise fashion. Mm-hmm. Was it difficult when you went to choose a cast? Because you do need an eclectic group to put this thing together and pull it off.
Well, there are seven cast members. Five are supposed to be high school students. We had 27 actors who auditioned for those five roles. So, and the five that got the parts were not the only five who had talent. So it was a nice problem to have. I mean, we had some depth to pull from. And a lot of it came down to chemistry and to a degree age. We've cast this show predominantly with college-aged students. They're playing high school students. I got a kick out of the fact that after we cast this show using predominantly college-age students, two of the cast members who are in college within the first 2 weeks after we cast them put Facebook posts talking about the fact that they get sick of people thinking they're younger than they really are.
That wasn't me.
Not so sure about that.
Take into account that Henry Winkler played the Fonz on Happy Days. Exactly. He's like 35 years old.
Yep. Yeah. And I went back and watched Grease recently, too, and you know, those were about the oldest-looking high school students I can recall seeing as well.
Oh, John Travolta.
But seriously, I think we've pulled off pulling together a cast that looks the part age-wise. But we had some cast members who are high school students who, when we paired them with some of the other people that we were absolutely sure we wanted in the show, just didn't quite work. But it wasn't because they weren't talented. It's just you got to get the right look and the right mix together. And thankfully, we had some good talent to pull from.
This was done back in 1985, and of course, things were a whole lot different. We're 31 years later, and social mores are different. The way that people look at each other, different. You know, just a lot of different factors involved in the way we live our lives today. Did you update this in any way to make it more of a 21st century type situation?
One of the things that absolutely blew me away, Chuck, when we were adapting this for the stage was how little it needed to be updated. we think, and I know it's true, that things have changed. You know, back in my day, you know,
I remember that old-time group, the Beatles.
That's right. And there's a Beatles reference in the show, but it still works. But as we were watching the movie again and trying and looking at the script, okay, what do we need to adjust? What do we need to update? We decided going in we wanted to keep this true to the 1980s because that's part of the charm. But what blew me away is a lot of the lessons and a lot of the issues that are discussed, even in 1985, spot on with what high school kids are dealing with today, at least from what my high school-aged kids have told me. So very little had to be updated, and I think a lot of the content speaks to today's generation.
I completely agree with that.
My character's pretty close to me in real life, so almost to a T.
All right, we want to tell people again that we're talking about The Breakfast Club. This is going to be put on by the Moorhead Theater Guild. Dates for the show, April the 29th and 30th, along with May 1st, May 6th through the 8th. It will be downtown Moorhead at the Rowan County Arts Center. And ticket availabilities?
They will be available at the Rowan County Arts Center, hopefully within the next week or so, and then also online. You can go to www.moorheadtheatre.org, and online tickets will be available for purchase as well.
Layden and Katie, any final comments before we let you get out of here?
No, I'm looking forward to these performances, and my family is from Iowa, and they're actually going to be making a trip to come see me.
Wow.
And so I'm very excited for that and to see, you know, all this hard work that we've put into this show. So
I just like to say I'd like to have a very good time performing in front of people, and I hope everybody enjoys the play as much as I enjoyed helping put it together.
Again, that's The Breakfast Club as performed by the Moorhead Theater Guild. We've been talking with Tom Lewis, who along with his wife Leslie are directing this particular production along with actors Layden Kelly and Katie Murray. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. We'll come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Back on Front Page, I'm Chuck Mraz, and Tom Lewis is still with us, but he's wearing it in this particular segment of the show. He's here as the executive director of the St. Clair Foundation. We're going to be talking about St. Clair's impact on the community. And when we talk about impact, we're not talking just about the medical services it provides, but we're talking about economic impact. And Tom, you and I have discussed this topic before, and I don't think many people realize when you talk about the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars that St. Clair brings to this area in one way or another, that this is actually going on.
Yeah. And we're the second largest employer, running almost neck and neck now with Moorhead State University. So from a regional perspective, employment is a big thing. Our payroll amounts to well over $1 million a week that's going into the local economy. So a tremendous amount of economic impact just from the standpoint of our employees, our staff members, and the salaries that they turn around and pump into the local economy.
Tom, how many employees does St. Clair now have?
Full-time equivalent, roughly 1,100. Total, closer to 12 to 1,300.
Yeah, I can remember back in the late 90s, I think it was only about 600 to 700, mm-hmm. So St. Clair's really expanded.
We have expanded. Part of that has to do with the relationships that we have established with Cave Run Surgical Specialists, which used to be Cave Run Clinic, and Moorhead Medical Specialists, which used to be Moorhead Clinic. Those used to be independently physician-owned clinics, and in recent years, St. Clair has entered into agreements with them, and they've come under the St. Clair umbrella. So that's expanded our workforce tremendously, but also just the expansion of some of our services. We're up to 31 medical specialties. And when you consider the size of Moorhead, Kentucky, to have a hospital with 31 medical specialties, I think, is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I can remember when you had to go to Lexington. This is back probably in the early mid-90s to get an MRI, and that's not the case anymore.
No, not by a long shot. And actually, a lot of our diagnostic imaging technology is on par with what you would find at most hospitals in Ashland, Lexington, a lot of bigger cities. I mean, where our diagnostic imaging services are top-notch.
I know that medical facilities around Kentucky are being challenged by a variety of things right now financially, but at the same time, instead of downsizing, as you might expect, St. Clair seems to be looking at further expansion.
We are blessed, Chuck, and we say that humbly. A lot of community hospitals are struggling. A lot have closed in recent years, including one or two in the state of Kentucky, as close as Nicholas County within the last few years. St. Clair, thankfully, has reached a point where fiscally things are solid, and we feel blessed about that. We are on the cusp of starting construction, we hope, on a brand new medical office building. It will be a roughly $26, $27 million project, about 80,000 square feet of office and clinical space. The goal is to bring Morehead Medical Specialists and Cave Run Surgical Specialists under one roof in a much nicer facility than where they are now, along with some of the other ambulatory services like oncology that are currently in our main hospital building. That will free up space in the main hospital for some other things that we would like to do and just simply don't have the space for now. But to be in a position financially where we can embark on a new construction project like this, I think speaks volumes about where St. Clair is financially, but also in terms of community support and the fact that people here do value having quality health care close to home, not having to go to Lexington or Ashland or Huntington or even further to get services that they might have to otherwise.
And I think people know about the SHARE facility, which is basically for health and education. And, St. Clair is very much involved in that. You're helping to train physicians and other medical professionals that will remain here in Eastern Kentucky. And when you talk about an area that's challenged from that standpoint, that's extremely important.
Yes, it is. And that program, the Rural Physician Leadership Program, which is essentially a satellite medical school through the University of Kentucky, it's been around a few years and has been extremely successful, a model where students who actually want to practice medicine in a rural setting are getting that type of focused training. It's not just cookie cutter training where, you pull somebody from the regular College of Medicine who really doesn't want to do rural medicine and just kind of throw them into that. That's not the case. These are students who truly have a heart for rural medicine and by and large come from this region knowing the need. And it's been successful, and it's been so successful that the University of Kentucky is now looking at expanding that program and up to triple the size of what we have now. So not only has it been successful, it's been successful enough that UK, even in this environment of needing to pinch pennies and watch costs, they see the value and they want to expand this program to allow more students to take advantage, and hopefully we'll see more doctors coming into rural Kentucky where the need is so great.
Unless we forget, as we talk about an expansion of staff, an expansion of programs and services, that this is a not-for-profit hospital.
Exactly. And a lot of people forget that. And we understand that. I mean, when you think about hospitals and hospital bills, you think, "Oh man, that they're just money cows. They're just there to roll in the dough." Not the case at all. St. Clair Regional is a tax exempt hospital. We are sponsored by the Sisters of Notre Dame, Covington Province. So we're at our heart a Catholic faith based hospital. We are the only acute care hospital in the not only the country but the world sponsored by the Sisters of Notre Dame. We're not part of a large conglomerate, not part of a large chain. We are the only one sponsored by the Sisters of Notre Dame. That said, we do look for strategic partnership opportunities. We do a lot with the University of Kentucky. We are not a University of Kentucky hospital, but we see the value in partnering with a partner that has that kind of strength and can bring a lot to the table. We think we bring a lot to the table for them as well. We partner with a lot of other hospitals in Eastern Kentucky. I remember a comment during a video project that we did a few years ago that our vice president for quality management made. She said, this is not a competition, and it's truly not. We're not out to try to compete with other hospitals here in the region. We want to partner. We want to make each other stronger because we know in the end it's the patient. It's the people in the community who need to be put first and foremost. It's not about putting money in our pocketbooks. It's about taking the best possible care of the people of the region that we serve.
And you talk about this, and I know that we're into the Affordable Care Act now, which has been passed and now pretty much fully in place. At the same time, St. Clair continues to provide care for those who can't pay for that assistance.
We do. And that's reflected in, you talked about the community benefit that we bring. St. Clair Regional, and things have changed a bit with the Affordable Care Act, and we're seeing some numbers kind of shift from one category to another. But St. Clair historically has provided millions and millions of dollars of care at cost to people who cannot afford to pay their medical bills. This past fiscal year, fiscal 2015, St. Clair Regional provided $20.2 million in what we call reportable community benefit. And a great deal of that has to do with the amount of care that we provide to the uninsured or underinsured. Those numbers have changed a bit. With the Affordable Care Act, now that everybody theoretically has access to health insurance, we've seen a great number of people who used to be uninsured in the region either get private insurance or get Medicaid. And actually probably half or more of those who have gone from the uninsured category have gone to Medicaid coverage. So we've gone from getting nothing for serving those people to getting at least a percentage of our costs back through Medicaid reimbursement. That said, while our traditional charity care numbers have dropped significantly, our Medicare shortfall has increased significantly. Because if you'll remember, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, a lot of the funding for that to make sure that people got either insurance or Medicaid coverage was shifted from Medicare. And so Medicare reimbursement was cut. That's been reflected in our numbers. So, the shortfall is still there. It's just moved from one category to another. And so we're offering or providing over $20 million in community benefit a year as a result.
Yeah, and people may not realize this, and I know this from talking to officials at the People's Clinic here in Moorhead. There are people that do now have insurance through the ACA, but sometimes they cannot use that insurance because they can't pay the associated costs like their copays and deductibles.
Mm-hmm. And that's been an issue. And I think that, to a degree, is still reflected in our traditional charity care costs and also our uncompensated care, where somebody does qualify for insurance, but they still don't pay their bill. And that has a lot to do with that. They're still struggling financially. And if you have to make a decision, do I put food on the table for my family or do I pay this medical bill? I think that answer is pretty simple. You're going to feed your family before you deal with this debt. And so, that's just part of it.
Well, and it goes back to the mission of what St. Clair is all about. As you talked about it, it's not something where we're looking to make a buck here and there. We're trying to find a way to better serve our community and our region.
Yep. The mission of St. Clair Regional and most of our staff members, I think, could recite it by heart, is to proclaim God's goodness through a healing ministry to the people of Eastern Kentucky. At our heart, St. Clair Regional is a ministry. It's not just about providing health care. It's about taking care of the whole person, physically, mentally, psychosocially, and spiritually. And we want to minister to the people of this region.
Tom, thanks so much for sticking around and talking to me for another segment.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And once again, that's Tom Lewis, who is the Executive Director of the St. Clair Foundation. You're on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. That's our show for today. We'll see you next time.